You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, the HMNZS Manawanui sank off the coast of Samoa after hitting a reef and catching fire. Following the sinking, the New Zealand Defence Force announced a court of inquiry after being called on for by a Samoan international relations expert based in Aotearoa. Usually similar incidents regarding major maritime vessels would be investigated by Maritime New Zealand and may also be referred to the Transport Accident Investigation Commission. However, as the Manawanui was a naval vessel engaged in governmental activity, the NZDF is holding the inquiry. Yesterday, News and Editorial Director Joel spoke to a professor in the Faculty of Law at the Auckland University of Technology, Paul Meiber, about what this inquiry could mean. A court of inquiry has been called into the sinking of the HMNZS Manawanui. Could you explain what the inquiry will be looking into?
Certainly. So with a naval vessel like this, it's typical for the relevant navy, in this case the New Zealand Defence Force, to set up a court of inquiry. That will involve an examination of exactly what caused the incident. So there'll be expert witnesses. They will presumably interview the crew and the commodore of the vessel, and they will try to work out exactly what happened and, if necessary, make recommendations so hopefully an incident like this doesn't happen again. So they essentially, like any commission of inquiry, if this was a commercial vessel, it would be investigated by Maritime New Zealand and the Transport Accident Investigation Committee. But because this is naval, it falls under the jurisdiction of the Naval Court of Inquiry.
The Court of Inquiry was called on by a Samoan international relations expert based in New Zealand. What sort of implications could the inquiry see for Samoa?
Well, in any incident like this, the primary investigating body is the flag state. So obviously, this vessel is New Zealand flagged, and that puts an obligation on us under international law to work out exactly what went wrong. That does not preclude Samoa from investigating the incident as well. Obviously, they are the country that is affected. It happened in their territorial waters. So it wouldn't surprise me in the least if Samoa also conducted its own commission of inquiry. This happened, for example, a couple of years back when the vessel Wakashio grounded off the coast of Mauritius. The flag state there was Japan, and they did their own inquiry, but equally the Mauritian officials flew someone in to investigate and form an independent opinion. And this may well happen in Samoa as well.
Will the inquiry have any legislative implications?
The Court of Inquiry here will make recommendations. It's more like a court of law in that sense, but there may well be implications for the commander and the crew, depending on what the findings are. And the Court of Inquiry can also, of course, make recommendations to the government. There's kind of, in the last couple of days, been a few interesting messages with the government saying that it's really up to the insurers and the Navy to sort it out. My view on that would be, of course, that the Navy is part of the government, and so the New Zealand state has an obligation to sort out the consequences of this grounding as quickly and efficiently as possible.
Foreign Minister Winston Peters says there is no reason that the findings of the inquiry should not be released to the public. Do you believe the findings should be released?
Of course they should. Absolutely. This is a matter of national significance, and it also is a matter of international significance. Our reputation globally and also our relationship with Samoa depends on transparency and honesty. We have a very long relationship with Samoa. Some of that has been good. Some of it has been downright ugly. So my view would be that it would be released, and I understand that it will be. I also understand that the findings of the Court of Inquiry will be gone over by an independent King's Counsel. So they obviously are concerned to ensure that the Court is taken seriously. The other aspect, though, that I think is rather disappointing is that there's been no apology forthcoming from the New Zealand government, and I think that's a great pity. An apology is not an admission of liability, but it is a recognition of the hardship being faced by the Samoan locals who are affected by the environmental pollution. And I think it's the very least we could do.
Your statement kind of relates to what I'm going to ask next, but many have criticised the government's response to the Manawanui and the subsequent implications of the sinking. Do you believe this could potentially put a strain on the relationship we have with Samoa?
Absolutely. You know, there are two dimensions here. One is the intergovernmental relationship. Now, the Navy vessel was there assisting Samoa in the sense that it was surveying the reef. So that will obviously be taken into account. It's not as if the vessel was there on any sort of aggressive or negative mission. It was there to support Samoa. But of course, for the average Samoan villager who's been affected by this, just like your average New Zealander, I mean, those sorts of fine points of diplomacy get lost. All that they can see is that the marine wildlife is being affected by diesel. They can't fish. Their livelihoods are being affected. So it is incredibly important that the New Zealand government move swiftly and efficiently to avoid increased upset and I guess, indignation amongst the locals. It surprises me that we haven't involved a commercial salvage company. I know that it will be very expensive, but I frankly doubt whether the naval personnel and the Samoan officials on the ground are going to be able to solve this. The vessel needs to be removed. If it can't be removed, the oil needs the diesel needs to be extracted as quickly as possible.
As well as this, an estimate of up to 200,000 litres of diesel has leaked into the ocean from the wreckage. New Zealand's Deputy Chief of Navy, Commodore Andrew Brown, says there is currently no evidence that the spillage has come from the main fuel tanks on board, which appears to be intact. This comes as the Chief of the Navy, Rear Admiral Garen Golding, told RNZ's Morning Report that roughly 950 tonnes of diesel fuel was on board when the HMNZS Manawanui sank. Joel also spoke to a lecturer in the Department of Marine Sciences at the University of Otago, Dr. Bridie Allen, on Monday, about how much of a concern the spillage is so far and what the environmental implications of the spillage could look like. Samoan authorities have recently reported that around 200,000 litres of diesel have leaked into the ocean from the sinkage of the HMNZS Manawanui off the coast of Samoa. However, as of the weekend, RNZ Pacific reporter Susanna Leatola says that there has been no sign of oil contamination on the reef and coastline, despite the vessel damaging 5,000 square feet of the reef. How much of a concern have these oil leaks been so far?
Yeah, it doesn't appear as though there's a high amount of oil that's been released. However, any amount of oil or the diesel or any contaminants that enter in the marine environment is potentially hazardous to marine animals that might encounter them, whether or not that's at the surface, as you would typically expect with an oil spill. You know, it sort of gathers on the surface of the water and animals might swim through it. That presents immediately sort of physical stress to the animal, as well as a toxic stress. But also, as oil sort of accumulates on the surface of water and it's agitated or moved around by wave energy or wind energy, then what happens is that can cause weathering of that oil product and the dissolution of the chemicals that are contained within that oil product. Once there's dissolution occurring, then that has the risk of moving throughout the water column, interacting with any animal that might encounter that contaminated water.
You briefly touched on this, but as you said, we haven't. If more oil were to sort of be reported of like actually spilling into the ocean, what sort of long-term impacts could we see on the ecosystem?
Yeah, it's a great question. It really depends on the severity of the spill and the magnitude of it, and importantly, where it is dispersed to or away from. If it is dispersed and towards land, then, you know, that may have a higher risk of interacting with coral reef communities that may be sort of extending out from the shoreline. Conversely, if it's dispersed away from land or from where the location is, then it just depends on what's basically below the water and how much coral reef there is around there. So it really does depend on the magnitude, the wind that's occurring currently, as well as any sort of oceanographic features or currents that might move that pollution or that source of pollution away.
Villagers located somewhat near the coast of Upolu, where the sinkage is, are being advised not to consume seafood items from the ocean. At this current stage, do you believe these calls are warranted?
Look, I think it would be, it's better to be conservative, especially when we're talking about oil pollution or diesel pollution. Contained within those products are a whole lot of really nasty chemicals, such as heavy metals, which are can be carcinogenic, cancer-causing chemicals. There's also the polyaromatic hydrocarbons, which are also quite toxic parts of oil itself. So, you know, we often think of an oil spill as being a sort of unctuous product that clogs up feathers and gills of animals, but it's really the chemicals as well that are attached to them, and they're really nasty chemicals. Furthermore, in shallow, well-lit waters, such as the tropics, you get an interaction between UV and the chemicals in the oil themselves. And in particular, the PAHs, or the polyaromatic hydrocarbons, can become way more toxic due to this interaction with UV exposure. So it's a real concern if there's an oil spill in these sort of tropical parts of the planet.
And what sort of effects could we see with these chemicals with marine life in Samoa, and even those who may accidentally end up consuming these seafood products?
Yeah, it's a bit from a marine animal perspective, they can be exposed to very small doses of these chemicals that are contained in oils and suffer a range of abnormalities, from cardiac issues, skeletal issues, the way they develop. Also, when any animal is under any sort of toxic stress, whether or not that's from, you know, oil contamination or diesel contamination, whatever it might be, then that also has a downstream physiological impact on the animal as they try to deal with exposure to that stressor. Now, that occurs over with very low doses of these chemicals. When we're talking about a ship that has collided with a structure and there's the risk of a high amount of those chemicals to be released, then the magnitude of those effects get greater. So it could have a pretty immediate effect on some of those animals in terms of their survival, but also it could affect their ability to reproduce in the same way, and that might have downstream implications on population resiliency as you move sort of beyond this time point.
And do you believe the Defence Forces are sort of adequately engaging with mitigating the effects of this oil spill of the Manawanui?
Yeah, from what I've heard from the media, and there's not an awful lot of information out there currently, it does sound as though they were immediately mobilised into action, sending people over there to assess the damage and to deal with it. I think they've been probably really fortunate that it's not worse than what it is in terms of oil release, but it's still a significant situation that's arisen. So I hope that effort does continue in the coming days. You know, there's this large reproductive event that's coming up in probably the next week or so, the release of lots of polychaete worms during a reproductive event called palola, which I think is a delicacy. It's a culturally important food source and a delicacy in some Pacific islands. And, you know, that's the sort of food type that they may not want to ingest during this period. So, you know, there's broader reaching implications that are associated with this event rather than the immediate effect of it. You know, it's on a lovely part of Samoa. There's surf beaches around the place. There's high tourism. And so this is the sort of thing that could have a longer lasting impact than the impact that we've already seen. So I hope the New Zealand government continues to rectify the situation.
That was Professor in the Faculty of Law at the Auckland University of Technology, Paul Maiber, and lecturer in the Department of Marine Science at the University of Otago, Dr. Bridie Allen, about a court of inquiry being held regarding the sinkage of the HMNZS Manawanui and the concerns around the 200,000 litres of diesel that is leaked as a subsequent effect.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.